And just recently, the two astronauts have been through that. They were going to have one other flight. I think it was two other employees that were going to go up for a ride on this thing. And then they were going to come back. But I think what's happened is now this guy, Richard Branson, he wants to be the first billionaire to accomplish getting into space. He heard that Jeff Bezos is doing this on July 20th. Now there's a rumor that Richard Branson wants to do the same thing, except with his rocket on July 4th, on Independence Day. So it's a race in space for the billionaires. Elon Musk, I think, he's going to have to sit this out. He could have done it. He's launched like three manned missions to the International Space Station so far. First one had two people, the second one had four, and another four, and another four coming up after people come down. So he could have been one of those, I guess. I don't know, maybe he wants to be the first billionaire to go to Mars, we'll see. Anyway, this is WS2N.
Hello, WP2N.
Go ahead, Ed.
I didn't know about that thing with Richard Branson. You're saying that Bezos and Branson are both in a race to get there first? Because historically, when people start playing with high technology and race, usually ends bad. I mean, Mark Twain wrote at great length about how racing steamboats on the Mississippi often ended up.
Okay, I don't know about what Mark Twain wrote about it, but I agree, you could have fast and you could have good, but you can't have fast and good. That's what I always believe in. It just doesn't work. Both companies have stated that, we're going to go to space when it's space, The only thing I worry about Richard Branson, earlier version back in, 2014, he tested it, the first one out. Unfortunately, one of the pilots got killed. Co-pilot. And then, they had to rebuild after that. So he's trying to, erase that from history. And he's going to compensate with his own launch. I mean, he's planned on doing this for a long time, Richard Branson. But they haven't said it, but it's quite obvious, to me that, look, this guy wants to do this on the 20th, and all of a sudden this guy's going to take a ride on the 4th. But maybe it won't be ready. I'm kind of predicting that, The engineers, people will get together and they'll tell this guy, not ready. And then Jeff Bezos will be the guy to do it. Yeah, I don't believe in pushing it either. In fact, I don't even believe what Jeff Bezos is doing. He should get his astronaut, whatever it is, his two astronauts involved in testing this thing out first before you put anybody on board. And the idea of Jeff Bezos, New Shepard, is, that's completely autonomous. It's going to launch, land, without anybody touching anything.
Oh, I just saw the name for that. Ask Krista McAuliffe about that.
Dramatic. Where the other thing is that's a spacecraft that's going to go into suborbital flight with Richard Branson. When you come down, you better have a pilot to land and things. It's probably computer controlled to do that, but coming down on a runway a couple hundred miles an hour, I would want to have a pilot, landing this thing in. Back to you.
Two names come to mind about what happens when you rush. Krista McCullough and Kobe Bryant.
Okay, and Chris McCullough and the other six that we lost with them. And, yeah, that was a rush. And some of the engineers said, two calls, one, two calls. You know, they're worried about the O-ring. But management overrode them. Some people say it was politics involved. You know, whatever the reason, it wasn't ready. Yeah, they redesigned everything. As time went on, they cured that problem. Unfortunately, it didn't help the Columbia mission in 2003, when that thing burst up coming back from space. You know, accidents will happen, you're right, and part of that problem, not all the time, but part of it is rushing. Any other comments?
I have some, but I think I've taken up enough of your time.
I know I'm running out of time, but the China, talking about China, they're going to have a launch coming up probably within a couple of weeks of a crew of three going to the International Space Station. To their own space station, which they launched not too long ago, about a month or so ago. They just launched a supply vehicle to that station. So, first a big core went up, core module, living quarters, then the progress or cargo vehicle docked with the station autonomously without a crew, and now they're going to send a crew of three up. And there's no date. Naturally, China doesn't give you a date, but we're in front of the mouth that we're going to have 10 people, 10 humans in space on a regular basis. Here on in, once they do launch, they'll stay for 3 months, come back, the next crew will replace them, and the next crew plans on staying for 6 months at a time, and they'll have, they'll just keep doing that 6 month interval. The next couple of years. So I had a mention that, and let me drop it. We're going to have two EVAs coming up by NASA on the International Space Station, and the idea will be to install the new solar panels that have been delivered. They brought up all the hardware a couple of years ago, and then that was installed on a couple of, I think, four different spacewalks, preliminary stuff that had to be done with these fixtures and then truss pieces that are going to support the new solar arrays. But now the actual solar arrays are sent up. The cargo vehicle, Dragon cargo, and that's now attached to the space station. Robot arm will eventually take that out and install it to these truss pieces that they've assembled that will essentially, when it's put together, will cover the air right in front of, but not covering 100% anyway, not covering the old solar panels. So it'll give them more power when it's done, and there's going to be multiple flights like that by SpaceX bringing different solar panels up. And there'll be many more spacewalks to do this, to do that work in the coming year or two. If you're looking for those spacewalks, by doing that, you're going to have, they shut the amateur radio equipment down at the time, completely. I mean, they disconnect the antenna and everything. They don't want any stray, any kind of electronic equipment that's unnecessary being run when they do an EVA. So that will be completely disconnected. And the field bay, the ARIS group plans on leaving, it won't have anything to do with the spacewalk. They plan on leaving a repeater hooked up. Crossband repeater. They're going to have 145.990 will be up, and then the downlink is on 70 centimeters. That was 437 down. So they plan on leaving out of the field. If you make a contact, the repeater as the space station goes overhead on field day. Not sure that that is point two to wherever you are. If you would have loved, it's going to help them a lot. Probably 100 points. All right, I'm going to get the number, but I think it's 100 points for doing a space, using the space station for a contact. Any other comments? Because I'm going to, close down. We'll, come to the end of the time for the net. So with that, I'm going to, unkey and see if anybody has any comments. If not, we'll turn it back over to Roy. Okay. By the way, Roy, I went up to 55 watts for we're going only maybe 10 miles, probably about 8 miles away from me. So, something's a little funny with the repeater. I understand it's better with the higher power. And then that's on our end over here. I don't know what, you seem to do pretty good tonight, Roy. We'll turn it back to you, Roy. AT2GS, this is WSUN. We'll be on the Club Info Net tomorrow night, as well as listen to the Swap and Shop and his line that follows. Back to you, Roy. WSUN.
Okay, this is AT2GS. Thank you, Paul, so much for the SpaceNet report, for all else that you do. The repeater Glen Oaks is a little weird today, tonight as well. Sometimes I get an input signal, 77, minus 77 dBm. Right now it's minus 95 dBm, so I don't know, propagation or someone positioned a blip between me and the antenna there. So things are not looking well short term. Want to explain to people, by the way, that Echo Link returned about 45 minutes ago, so I thank Lou for that. I thank everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break a technical net. No one wants to hear me drone on by myself, so I'm glad I have company. So thank you very much. Please come back next week as well. Remind you that if you need to contact me or need a contact call, my email address is mailbag@at2gs.com. Again, mailbag@at2gs.com. The link page full of nice, interesting articles, both space-related, general science-related, are available at roy.at2gs.com. The internet stream for the Glen Oaks repeater is available by typing into your browser technet.at2gs.com, and it's live 24/7. And don't forget Mike Casey's NJI's amateurradio.tv website, an archive of the technical net that goes as far back as December of 2006. A lot of wisdom in those recordings. Please avail yourself of it. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, very good. Well, as Vic A2RIW very often, and it is technical net with the suggestion, be kind to each other, of course. Be kind to each other. As always, be kind to each other is good advice any old day, especially the last year and a half have been really troubling, but we're close to the end of the tunnel. Things are getting better, and please continue to act safely and appropriately. Be well, be safe, enjoy the opening of all the social things that we haven't had around for so long. Enjoy Field Day in the future. Be well, and please come back next Sunday at 8 o'clock when we're going to try to do this all over again. So this is AT2GS, and I will be going clear and closing the technical net for this Sunday night.
Thank you. does that affect?
You're on the wrong frequency. You're on...
I'm in Valley Stream, so I'm in Glen Oaks, but this is the machine's in Plainview.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't hear it coming in. Satellite 2H testing. W2BL repeater. Actually, it doesn't seem to be working in either direction.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active. All right, I hear myself. On both. And now I'm going to go over to Plainview. And I'm on both.
And I'm on both. And I'm on.
So, Ron, you see what happened was... Actually, this site was a little peculiar because we had no directional capability until I dropped and reestablished the Glen Oak site. That's very weird behavior, and now we're full duplex between the two machines. But connecting Plainview was not enough. I had to drop and then reconnect on the Selden Glen Oak pair. Isn't that weird?
Weird to me.
All right, let me break the connection here on Plainview side.
Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Alto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
H-M-R-1.
This is NY2H. Running some tests on RLP.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Welcome to node 925, the Western reflector in Las Vegas, Nevada. Please pause 2 seconds between transmissions and key up for 1 second before talking. Link connected.
This is NY2H, looking for anyone on the Las Vegas reflector. Come back.
Lou, I don't think you're going to get anybody. I think they're all at the casinos gambling.
Well, you know, Ron's had a problem connecting on Plainview. I wanted to try it on here to see if I could whip up any activity. I'm trying to figure out if anything is wrong. I just ran the built-in tests for RLP on both machines, and every test passed fine, so not sure.
What's the node that Steve uses over in England that seems to be an active IRLP node?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He may be using Echolink for that. I'm not certain he's using RLP.
Okay, I was under the impression he was using the IRLP node.
Yeah, I don't know offhand.
You got David. David, is that you, David?
TJ2RY, good afternoon.
David, you're very scratchy and noisy. I assume you're on an HT.
Dave, I'm on my base station, but I will say it sounds better than usual.
All right, David. I'm going to pass it back over to Lou. Lou's doing a test. See if we can find somebody in Vegas on the reflector. Anybody in Vegas on the reflector? You got a copy? Bring it back to 82AK in New York. Hey, Lou. They're all in the casinos spending their money.
Well, my concern is that they may be hearing us and we're not hearing them. And hopefully that's not the case. All right, I'll disconnect.
Node 925, Western Flinker, Las Vegas, Nevada. Link off.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
NY2H.
Net off.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Delato connect off.
Welcome to Channel 8 of the Western Reflector 9258, which is linked to Echolink Conference Server 152566, also known as Nevada Gate. Please pause 2 seconds before talking after keying up and in between transmissions. The link is now connected.
Las Vegas. Anyone copy?
Joel Echo 6, uniform Romeo Tango and Goldfield on the left. Yes, I copy.
Oh, very good. Thank you for coming back. I'm in New York, and we're just testing out our RLP capability here. I'm on Long Island. Name is Lou. Lima Oscar uniform, about 60 miles east of New York City. And what's the name over there? Back to you.
The name here is PK. I use my initials P.K. And the call again is Kilowatt Echo 6, a uniform Romeo Tango in Goldfield, Nevada.
All right, very good. KE6, about 70 degrees here in New York. A little drizzly before, but I think the sun may be breaking through, although I don't know. I imagine it's hotter over there. Back to you.
Well, sir, it is 77 degrees in New York. I would be very happy with that. It's going to be 101 here in Goldfield, which is at 6,000 feet. So it's going to be 114 in Las Vegas today. KE6URT, Goldfield, Nevada. Back to you, sir.
Wow, that is incredible. Wow, I understand there's a drought going on out west. That's incredible. And at 6,000 feet, wow. And 114 on the strip. Okay. Alrighty. I am going to do another experiment. We have a another repeater, and we have a fellow that's trying to get in. He's been using the 9250 reflector, and I'm not sure that that's populous. And I looked on the RLP site, and I saw the 9258, which we're on now, worked out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to go on a yellow machine and try to reconnect. If you're around, maybe I can catch you again. And this way I can test out if the yellow machine is working properly. In any case, PK, I'll talk to you in a few minutes, or if I don't, have a wonderful day. And I'm going to disconnect now and reconnect in a few minutes from another machine. This is November Yankee 2 Hotel.
Kilowatt Echo 6, uniform Tango, Goldfield, Nevada, standing by.
Reflector 9258, link clear.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
And 2ZUC, NY2H.
It's not February anymore.
Grandpa.
Yes.
I heard you were roof manager.
Yeah, something like that. Aluminum RV.
What's up, the man?
And nothing. Just heading over to my son's house, give him a hand. And kind of like that. He's trying to do some work, and the baby's driving him nuts. So figured I'd go over there and give him an hour or two, you know.
Yeah, you're a good papa.
Well, I try, you know. I do the best I can.
All righty. I got a couple things cooking. I put up a portable mask. PVC, three pieces. Hold on, hold. Three pieces of PVC. 10-foot sections, but I only extended the whole thing 15 feet, so one sits inside of the other halfway, you know. So, and I have a little 2-meter connected it to my HT, and I was able to hit Glen Oaks, and I couldn't believe it yesterday. So I'm waiting for a couple of PL-259s to come in the mail, and I'll dress up this cable, and then I'll check it out with this rig. So that's good. Been checking out IRLP, and we have computers go up and down, connections go up and down, a little bit crazy, but John's going to check out EchoLink today on Plainview, because the Windows machine seems to be in distress. Other than that, yeah, sun's coming out. What's the weather over there? Is it sunny now?
No, it's fugly. It's definitely fugly. Okay, did you check out the 220 machine? The 220 machine has got a hum. I think it's the power supply. Sounds like it anyway. And the clock is way off. Way off by about 4 hours. So, I just figured I'd let you know, because, you know, you're the technical expert.
I'm just calling CQ on 20 here. Let me lower that. Yeah, well, I'm at a disadvantage. Number one is I've never worked that machine. I do have 220 in this any tone, but it's a very low power, and I have no antenna. But I was working with Andy. I had him try to touch down into the controller there for the 220 to reset the time. What I might do is I could put the Anytone in the car and take a ride over in range, possibly, and try to do some programming into it. The hum doesn't sound like a good thing either, so. But all right, thanks for the notification. Maybe I get some of the guys out west there to check it out. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get on my horse and gallop on over.
Wilbur! Okay, very good, very good. All right, I'm here. I'm in the driveway. So, I'm going to say 7-3, and you have a great day, my fine feathered friend. This is N2IO, and I'm out.
All right, Gramps. Have a good one. NY2H.
NY2H, 82,
OCB Mobile. Hey, Craig, where are you located? You're coming in on the east, but it sounds a little noisy.
Elvin, and remember, my antenna's in the back. It's not on the roof anymore.
You're in Selden, wow. And, well, I don't remember because I didn't know, but what happened?
Yeah, but I don't really want to put it back on the roof. I like it where it is right now. We're getting quite a little bit of rain over here.
Your antenna is in the car?
Oh, it's in the back on hatch.
Oh, okay. All right, well, but it's not at the roof line. It's lower.
And so there's less gain, and that's why I try to use more power to reach the repeater, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd only be using 25 watts, so I'm pushing 50 right now.
Well, here at Selden, you should be blasted, and you're not. You're noisy, so I don't know. I don't know if that was advised, what you did, but anyway. And it's raining? And like, here at Portchester Station, it's rained before. I guess it's still overcast, but it almost looks like there's a little bit of sun, but I guess not. But you're saying it's raining in Selden.
Going through, I'm passing exit 43 on Sunrise, and it's a little bit, you know, a little heavy, and then it slows down, then it picks back up, slows down.
Oh, so we're miscommunicating. I thought you said you were in Selden. That's why I was saying your signal should have been stronger, but you're not in Selden. And it's not necessarily raining in Selden, it's raining where you are, and you're on the Sunrise. All right. I think I understand now.
Now, where'd you think I was? I might want to put on the roof, but I don't really want to put the antenna on the roof, considering that it's slightly taller than my last one. It's like 55 inches. and it's not really that far below the roof line, but maybe I might get something that's 61-ish. Get a slight more gain out of it.
Yeah, you'd be fine. Put a quarter wave on the roof. Got a high enough roof. And, yeah, you're kind of noisy now. But anyway. All right, I guess you're on this, what are you on? Like a 3 to 11 shift or something? Hopefully they'll let us shoot. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's fantastic. I hope they'll let you shoot. It's not just all safety and instruction, but a lot of times they do one day of instruction and safety. But I don't know how to instruction. I was out at the range on Saturday, 100 yards, 200 yard bench press shoot with my AR-15. Always a lot of fun.
Yeah, when I was at Camp Lejeune, we had this M16, which I guess are equivalent. 223 rounds. I think that's the same thing.
Well, same thing but different. No full auto. No burst fire. Usually much more accurate than civilian models. I have a heavy barrel that'll do stuff in at an angle. But I like to shoot it because it's inexpensive to reload. I haven't been doing any high power shooting really. We'll use a little warming cartridge for the 223.
Checks off. Station recognized. Or acknowledged, not recognized, because you're quick in. I'm on the east end here, but I'll get to you in a second. Yeah, so the, I was in there in, I guess, early 71, and it was before they had the three fire position. We actually could expend the whole thing. It was fully automatic. Well, it had a tab on it with three positions. You had safe, you had semi, and then you had fully automatic. Station, come back as NY2H.
Yeah, this is Spencer Jackson Bob. Yeah, I just wanted to listen to you guys going up to the range.
Is that sand pit still open out there in Calverton?
I didn't get the name. It is still open. Calverton Range is open, if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, I think, what is it, like $20 to get inside or something like that?
I'm not sure.
I haven't been there in a while.
I'll jump back in. Yes, so they're open. It's still $20, and that's the Wild West Range. We have a couple of scheduled shoots there, but we're dying to do it this year. Nobody has any interest. But yeah, you can go out there and... Yep, definitely. Area's open.
Okay, on that. Yeah, you're a little choppy. I didn't hear some of the words, so I'll give it to NY2H.
All right, very good. Yeah, you're a little choppy there, Charlie. And the other station, I didn't get the call of the name. Come back.
Yeah, name here's Bob. Over.
Yeah, hi, Bob. What's your call?
November 2 Golf, X-ray Romeo.
And 2GXR. Okay, that sounds familiar. Maybe we've worked before. Maybe I know you. I don't know. A lot of people now, so... But okay, yeah. All right, so Bob, it sounds like it's still opened up there and it's good. I know a lot of people are complaining about the price of ammo. It's gone up, so never. Charlie, take another shot. Let's see if you're in a better spot.
You know, I switched over to Glen Oaks, and it was out this way. But either way, I've got a sign, gentlemen, and now I'm under the overpass.
Well, that was good anyway. It's working, so. All right. Take care, Charlie. Talk to you later. Bob?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I didn't get your name, your first name.
I'm sorry, say again.
Yeah, I didn't get your name.
Yeah, my name is Lou. Lima Hospital Uniform, L-O-U, Lou.
Yeah, very good, Lou. Yeah, I think I might have spoken to you once before. I've been off the radio for quite a while. And I support this 2-meter rig. Hopefully I'm coming in okay. I'm transmitting inside my bedroom.
Yeah, you're very readable. A little bit of noise behind you, but nothing to, you know, stop from understanding. And, well, where are you located?
Okay, Lou. Yeah, I'm in West Babylon. I guess I have a, you know, as crow flies, not far from the repeater, Babylon. No, it's not that far at all.
Yeah, from Great South Bay, but you're coming in on Eaglin Oaks now, on my mock machine.
Yeah, sometimes I realize that, but I put these frequencies in here, and I got an old directory, and all the PL tones and all that stuff, so. Anyway, you're talking about, to go out to the range and stuff. I haven't been out there in a while, so I guess I like to bring my rifles, but I don't even know what rifles to bring out there anymore.
NY2H, yeah, I went to that range once in the 70s. I don't own any weapons now, and I haven't been active, except for some community stuff I'm doing with the police department. But in the 70s, I was out there with a shotgun. So, anyway, yeah, I'm sure you can call them, get all the details, their hours of operation, and you know what they're doing. But already, from what's that? Yeah, no, so you're doing fine. So what kind of antenna are you using right now?
I'm using a mobile mount. Actually, it's for a car. It's got a magnetic mount. It's a diamond. It's got the load, halfway in the middle. What model? I'm not sure. I have to look it up.
Yeah, are you transmitting from the car now or your house?
No, I'm inside the room, actually. And probably a lot better if I put it on my Jeep and get a better ground plane on it. There's a ground plane on this thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, as I say, it's working, you know. There's some noise, you're not full quieting, but you're perfectly readable. All right, Bob, well, have a good one. Take care, and catch you down a log here, so we'll see you. November 2, Golf X-Ray Romeo. This is November Yankee 2 Hotel, 7-3.
Okay, Lou, have a good one. I guess you got to go to your son's house. I got the same situation over here with the baby crying. NY2H is 2J Suckler.
N2TU to the station with the indoor antenna. I'm picking you up on the input here in Brentwood, just for your info.
Okay, fine on that. Yeah, you're on my, let's see, yeah, you're on my other side, so it's going through the room. There's a lot more to go through the room, but I'm coming in all right?
Yeah, you're coming in pretty good. A bit of crackle. You're about half scale on a chiclet meter, so it's, it's not that accurate. But you told me about half scale, a little bit of crackle, but full copy. Just figured you'd be interested in knowing that.
Okay, yeah, I bumped up the power a little bit. It's still on low power, but how is it now?
Yeah, it looks like another transmission. I got to switch the radio back and forth here between the input and output.
Okay, all right, so I'm in Babylon, and I guess am I getting out a little bit better?
Yeah, you're almost, you're about 60% quieting now. No more crackle, just a little bit of hiss. You sound really good. Hey, for an indoor antenna, sounds good. To get that thing a little higher or a better ground plane, you'd probably be going and getting out excellent.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not going to stay in here. I'm having plans to put it on my Jeep, and I got a rack. Metal rack on top, so it's going to really go out a lot better. It's got a better ground plane. Right now, it's really not designed for the inside of the house, but I'm just putting in the wires now in my Jeep, the power cable. Now the next step is the mobile antenna and run the coax and address it up inside.
Yeah, please have a good mobile installation. Yes, that just straightened out my mobile installation. Mine's been installed for about 10 years. And I noticed it worked well, but it was kind of deteriorating a little bit. When I unscrewed the NMO mount, it turns out there was a little bit of water in there. Cleaned the water out, it's working fantastic now. So, mobile installations need a bit of love and attention.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I just got this radio not too long ago. The Yaesu FT2980. It's got about, it goes up to about 80 watts, but if I turn it up to 80 watts, it's going to affect my computer and a few other things, electronic things in here.
Yeah, that's what you got in the center. Just by coincidence, this rig I'm on right now, I haven't had it on the air for close to a year. And by pure coincidence, it's the same rig you have, the 2980, whatever they call it there. That's exactly what I'm on. I haven't had used it in a while, so I mean, let me power it up, get the capacitor discharged up here, and just scanning the band and heard you guys out there. It's a pretty nice rig. I don't use it much because I like the idea of having a dual band. But I tell you, for TX, I do a lot of simplex work. It works fantastic for simplex. I have it on a antenna that's up on the roof about 30 feet. It works pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. When I put it in the car, in the Jeep, I want to talk to my friend Simplex. And you said it was pretty good, and that's 80 watts. And it, my radio should sound better, and the antenna installed on top, so it should be a lot better. But that's good to hear. But I want to ask you something. When you use the radio a little bit, you notice that it gets hot real quick, or not?
Yeah, it does on the 80 watt position. Yes, it does get a bit warm, but it's not bad though. I mean, it's got plenty of heat sink. I tell you, it's got plenty of heat sink. It's a good rig for a low price rig. I tell you, it's a very well designed rig. It can handle 80 watt. I mean, I wouldn't run it with duty cycle at 80, but put it at 30 watts. Something. Yeah, it's gonna get hot, but that's normal. You know, you can handle it.
Yeah. What's the increment power? Was it 10, 20, 30, 80? I'm not sure. Maybe you know. I've got to look at the book again.
Yeah, the power levels are 5, 10, 30, and 80. And it actually does as advertised, unlike some radios.
Yeah, I try to keep it on low, you know, low power, one or two, and keep it that way, because like I said, it just affects everything around the house, stuff going off, my lights come on, you know, the more modern lights, it just turns on by itself.
Well, that's how it is to get the antenna removed. If you got an antenna outside, that would resolve that issue. I have a guy I talked to in some places in an HOA. He's got indoor antennas, and he's got the same issue. He keys up and sets everything off. That's how it is. Too much RF in a small, too close to